Hello and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice, and I'm joined in the studio with my friend and brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
Patrick, good to be here.
Yeah, we're here again, and we have on the show today an amazing guest, a strong and powerful woman that's walking in the power and love of the Holy Spirit. Her name is Sarah Kaczmarek. She is the National Youth Director for Alpha USA. She's amazing and has so much to give. Dan, can you start us off in prayer?
Heck yeah, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just love you. I just am so grateful for you today and all the gifts that you've poured out into our lives. Lord, you are a good, good Father who gives good gifts. And we pray, Lord, that you would just increase gifts in our lives, that you would give provide for our families, provide for our children, provide for your church, Lord. We just pray that you would be the provider. Lord, I pray against any area of our lives where we're trying to provide for ourselves, and we just cling to you today. I love you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that as you spoke through the prophet Isaiah, behold, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Jesus, you are doing a new evangelization in the church. You are bringing us into this deep intimacy and encounter that releases the power of heaven wherever we walk. So, Father, I pray that Holy Spirit that has raised Jesus from the dead will be upon all of our listeners today through the words of Sarah, through the discussion that we have in Jesus' name. So, Father, I pray that you fan into flame the gift of God that we receive through the laying on of hands, through our baptism and confirmation. Do it again, Lord. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Are you ready?
Hey,
Dan, there's shows where, like, I come on fire.
I know. You guys, the bad thing about radio is you can't watch Patrick while he was praying just now. His arms were flying everywhere. There's fire. So it's coming. It's coming.
Yeah. Now, Dan, if you get hit by the Spirit, don't try to stand, don't try to stand up, but don't try to fall over either, okay? Just let God be God right now, okay?
Got it.
Because there's a special grace in this room right now. But Dave, you need to stay right where you are. Dave Orsborn, he is our radio producer, and you can't mess up, Dave, okay? So the Holy Spirit's not going to knock you over, I promise. Dan, there's shows where I feel like, like the Spirit of Jesus when he had to come against the Pharisees?
Yeah. That was tough.
I feel like we're going there right now.
Oh, man.
All right.
I love the picture we paint of Jesus sometimes where he's just this Christian nice guy that goes around and tells everyone to be nice and tolerant and accepting. And that wasn't actually who Jesus was.
Because he's like, you Pharisees, you whitewashed tombs. He's like going at them for this. Okay, so here's the deal, Dan. Sarah Kaczmarek, I'm so blessed to know her. I met her through Father Matthias, who I think at this point everyone in our city knows this guy who's done all the healing services and stuff, and is just bringing the power of God, signs, wonders, and miracles in a big way. So I met Sarah through Father Matthias, and I think they met through Renewal Ministries type of thing in Michigan, and she's just awesome. She works for Alpha. Okay, Alpha USA is their national youth coordinator. But also she has a personal ministry of training and equipping Catholics to walk in the power of the gifts of the Spirit. So I want to talk about both. But I think the biggest grace about Alpha that is being released is this bringing, people, Catholics, to a personal relationship with Jesus, right? Mm. And we've seen so many parishes just come on fire with people coming to actually encounter and know the Lord. But at the same time, Dan, I've noticed even in our parishes, even our city, there's some skepticism that I want to address right now. And so instead of just you and I doing that, I want to bring Sarah on the show and join this discussion with us. So Sarah, welcome to Encounter. How are you doing, my sister?
Doing much better after listening to you guys pray.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, God. Do it in everyone listening in the name of Jesus. So Sarah, there's... we have this phrase that we keep hearing, you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And some people are, everyone wants a personal relationship with Jesus, but there's skepticism that this is a Protestant phrase, and this is Protestant influences that are being brought into the Catholic Church. What would you say to someone that's kind of skeptical about what Alpha is trying to do and how this actually isn't opposed to our Catholic faith?
Sure. Well, I think There's like probably 100 things I could say about this, but I'll limit myself and you can cut me off.
Yeah, just give us the first 99.
But I think for the first thing you should know about alpha is alpha means beginning. And so what we focus on in alpha, particularly in what people would call the curriculum or the catechetical piece, is the kerygma, the basic proclamation of the gospel. And personally, I believe you can't get more Catholic than the kerygma.
Amen to that.
And the whole goal, the whole desire, the whole reason why we do Alpha is so that people can have an encounter with the living God.
Yes.
But the God that maybe they knew through teaching, preaching, or just sitting in a pew their whole life will become very real, alive, and active for them in their lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so for us, it's been amazing to see. I mean, if you think about like this, just from a logical perspective, when we're talking about a personal relationship with Jesus, I think people do sort of immediately relegate that to a Protestant thing, right? Because that's maybe something they speak about more. But the reality of it is it's really, really Catholic. I mean, you find it even in the Catechism of the Catholic Church that we talk about, like, if we're going to be faithful believers, we have to believe it, we have to celebrate it, but we have to live our faith through a vital and personal relationship with God.
Yep.
And the saints, our saints, they talk about it all the time. They talk about intimacy with Christ, the nearness, the union they have with Christ. And if we're supposed to model ourselves after the saints, but if that's what we're seeking, we need that as well.
Yeah.
And so you see it in scriptures that God was a God, especially in the person of Jesus, of nearness. Like, he had this tactile, raw, real ministry, right? He touched people. He spit and touched people. He reached out into the depths of their humanity with his humanity. And so we just see in the person of Jesus his desire to be near us. I mean, he literally came from heaven to be on earth, to be near to us.
Amen.
So I just think about, in like John Paul II, right, probably the greatest pope of my lifetime, St. John Paul II, he talks about this work of evangelization, which everyone in the church, I hope and believe, is coming alive to the idea of this new evangelization. And every single time he talks about it, he talks about how it begins through a personal relationship with Jesus. We go back to Jesus every time. We encounter him anew every time in this work of evangelization.
Wow.
I just think there's this difference between, so that's like sort of a logical perspective, right? But there's a difference between knowing and then experientially knowing someone. So like for Patrick, I can know Patrick. I can read stories about Patrick. I can hear stories about Patrick, but do I really know Patrick? Unless I've encountered him, lived with him, walked with him, broken bread with him, spoken to him, I don't really know Patrick. There's I think, a gap sometimes in our understanding of the difference between a theoretical or intellectual knowledge and an experiential knowledge. And that's a huge gap.
I've got a really good scripture there. I think, and here, I'm kind of responding to people that have said, you know, like, okay, we can have a personal relationship with Jesus, but it's only through the sacraments and through the ministries of the church. And like, you know, as long as my personal relationship is through the Eucharist and going to confession and living out the dictates and laws of the church. But in John 17, chapter 3, you know, Jesus says this, quote, "This is eternal life, that they," that's us, "may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." What is eternal life? "That we may know you, Father, the only true God." This word "know" in the Greek is gnosko. And actually, there's different kind of Greek words for "know," but this word gnosko, it really means experiential knowledge. So if I were to read it again, "This is eternal life, that they may experience and have experiential knowledge of you, God." What do you think about that, Dan?
Yeah, no, I just think, you know, Pope Benedict said that one is only Christian if he has encountered the living God, right? That so it isn't, it's the encounter with Jesus that makes us who we are. It's not doing the Catholic things, right? Holiness isn't about doing, it's about becoming. Holiness is about not about doing all of the prayers, going through the rituals, going through the sacraments, but it's about encountering the God who is present in the sacraments. It's about encountering the God who is present and alive and active in the Word of God. And it's about knowing him. I like to say it's you know, I could say, I could tell you that I was hit by a semi truck, right? That while I was walking in the radio station today, as I was walking in, there was a massive semi truck and it was barreling down the road and it just smashed right into me, right? And you would say, that's impossible. It's impossible to be hit or impacted by something as big as a semi truck and not be permanently changed. And that's a, you know, that's exactly what we see with our faith, that what's bigger, a semi truck or Jesus? And Jesus is way bigger. And but we have people who are presenting themselves and they're being hit or impacted by the Eucharist week after week, and yet they're not being changed.
Right.
And so where's the encounter?
And there's two more quotes I want to share with our listeners. If this is something you've thought about or if this has been a concern, Pope Benedict said this. He said, and he's going to use this terminology, only in this personal relationship with Christ. So pause. Pope Benedict is using this language, personal relationship with Christ. Only in this personal relationship with Christ, only in this encounter with the risen one, do we truly become Christians.
Mm.
Like, how did St. Paul become a Christian?
By encountering Jesus.
By a power
Jesus.
Encounter, right?
Yeah.
And so there's this life of encounter. Like, there, really, what it comes down to, our radio show really is it. Like, an encounter with God changes you.
It changes
right?
you.
And then finally, like, JP2 even, like, goes against, you know, he shares in one of his letters, Ecclesia in Europa, he's talking about this mindset that all we need is good liturgy and sacraments and, you know, people doing what they're supposed to do as Catholics. This is what JP2 said. He said, many of the baptized live as if Christ did not exist. The gestures and signs of faith are repeated, especially in devotional practices, but they fail to correspond to a real acceptance of the content of the faith and fidelity to the person of Jesus. The great certainties of the faith are being undermined in many people by a vague religiosity lacking real commitment. External sacramental practices are not enough. We need that faith which comes in an encounter, in the encounter with him.
Mm, amen to that.
So I think we hit that.
Yeah, well,
yeah, you can call in if you have a problem with that, but
actually you can't because we're not a call-in show.
Yeah.
I don't even think we
you
have
talk
a phone
to Dave.
In this room.
You can talk to Dave. Sarah, keep going. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I guess sometimes I can be a bit challenging, but that's okay because I don't live in your area, so people can't get mad at me. But I guess my challenge to people who are really struggling with this would be to question in yourself, what am I afraid of?
Wow.
If this is real, if there's even the possibility that this is real, that God wants to have a personal, living, active relationship in me, he wants to live in me, have union with me, intimacy with me, if this is real and I'm fearful of it, or I can't go there, I kind of have to look a little deeper and say, like, what am I afraid of? And I think that that's where a lot of our these flimsy arguments we put up get knocked over pretty quickly, right? That, like, if we look at the root of where the fear is in us, that, like, maybe I'm not worthy. What if Jesus doesn't want a personal relationship with me? What if he rejects me? What if, you know, that idea of, like, people really knew me, they probably wouldn't like me. You know, all of those thoughts, all of those fears can, like, come rise up within us. And until we allow Jesus in to tell us the truth, to speak truth to our identity, to who we are, that we are worthy, that we are loved, we are whole, we are made new, I think it's really, really hard to understand this concept of personal relationship. So my challenge, I guess, to anyone who's out there listening right now that's like, I'm not really sure I'm okay with this, I'm not really sure I believe this, is just step behind the fear, look what might be there, and give it a shot.
Yeah.
Open yourself up. Pray the prayer of saying, Jesus, I don't know if you want a personal relationship with me. And frankly, I'm a little maybe afraid that maybe you do or don't, or I'm not worthy, but I'm willing to try.
You know, and I think another fear that people have is that, oh, if we talk about a personal relationship with Jesus, it's going to make people leave the Catholic Church and become Protestant. And what I've found is the absolute opposite.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually
totally.
Are doing this well as Catholics, if we, what, when we don't preach the importance of a personal relationship, what happens? People are like, oh, the Catholic Church is just a bunch of rituals. I'm leaving. And mm-hmm. but when you do preach it and you help people hear the voice of the Lord in prayer, you help them discover the beauty of Jesus really present in the Eucharist, they become more Catholic. They like they fall in love with Eucharistic adoration. They fall in love with daily mass. Mm-hmm. They fall in love with confession. They fall in love with prayer. They fall in love with scripture. They fall in love with church documents. They fall in love with the catechism. The best Catholics I know and the best Catholics I've seen be transformed in front of me in ministry are those who know Jesus, who mm-hmm. have a relationship with Jesus. It's not, you know, for a long time when I would just preach dogmas and doctrine, and I try to win people over with the dogmas and doctrines, and the only thing that did was make me a jerk. It just annoyed people, and it frustrated people, and it didn't win anyone over. But when I started preaching a person who I've met and who transformed my life and who gave me joy and happiness in unspeakable ways and who has fulfilled me at the core of my being, when I started to preach that message, then people were like, I want to know him. And where can I find him? Well, let me bring you to adoration. Let me read this scripture with you, and let you can read. And like they become and they fall in love, not just with Jesus, but with his bride.
And then
the
sacraments come alive.
Then they come alive.
Then these things that were just duties that we thought, you know, made us Catholic, they really become alive. You start to hear his voice.
Patrick,
right?
You're a good friend of mine, right?
I hope so.
Have I ever like rejected your wife?
No.
Would I ever reject your wife as your friend?
No.
The more I love Patrick, the more I love his wife.
That's
his bride, right.
Right.
And the more Patrick loves me, the more he loves my bride. Why? Because when we love a person, we love the people that they care most about. Right. And as Catholics, the more we love Jesus, the more personal that relationship becomes, the more we love his bride.
And what
church.
is the first doctrine? Is like, I believe in one God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. We actually confess to believing in persons. We don't believe in doctrines like, I believe in the hypostatic union. No, we don't say that. We believe in persons, and from that, the doctrine flows. Mm. And I think that's what Alpha is getting back to, is this belief in the person, this through an experiential knowing. Right?
Isn't that the best part of Christianity? Listen, people, we have a relationship with a divine person. That's crazy. That Jesus is a divine person. The Father is a divine person, right? That the Spirit is a divine person. And they live inside of us.
Yes.
Ah.
And you can raise the dead. Yeah. Come on.
Oh, it's so wild.
Sarah,
I love it.
What? Anything else you would add?
Yeah, no, I would just say like the same things that you just said we've experienced through Alpha, right? Like when I used it with my own youth ministry program, I had a girl who, after experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus in her own heart on a retreat weekend, went home and asked her mom for her rosary that mm-hmm. she was given exactly. as a gift on her first communion, right, all those years ago. And her mom called me and was like, what did you do to my kid? Like, she came home and asked me to help her find the rosary. And it was like, did we ever talk about the rosary? But no, she went back to what she knew and was formed in. But now that she had this relationship with Jesus, all of that formation came alive for her.
Amen to that. Yeah, that's
so
a great
good.
Example.
Wow.
Example.
Praise the Lord. No, so Sarah, I want to hear your testimony. Like, how did you get on fire? Were you always on fire? Like, that's a good question.
Yeah, I guess that is a fair question, right? Yeah, I think a lot of what we're talking about right now is really what shifted the trajectory of my life, is that encounter with the living God, with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I was raised Catholic, grew up in a really loving, faithful family, went to Catholic schools all the way through college, so my parents are still broke because of that, because we have four children that they put through Catholic schools, like, all the way through college. And, you know, just God was good, and he was loving and all of these things, but he really wasn't the most important thing in my life. And I definitely kept him on the back burner, you know, and unless I needed him for like a test or an emergency or one of those situations. And I fell in love with a service, serving God's people, went to a Jesuit college. So that was really, really important to me, but nothing really animated me with my faith. Like, I'd go to mass sometimes, not all the time, definitely, especially in college, was not making it every Sunday. Forgive me, Father, but it just wasn't real. It wasn't alive. It wasn't active to me. And I hungered for that. I hungered for something more. I knew that I was made for more than a faith that just required me to show up on Sundays. So after I graduated college, went back to where I was from in Detroit, Michigan, and started working as a youth minister while I was...
Sarah, I need you to hold off. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. And when we come back, we're going to continue to hear Sarah's testimony. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We have back with us Sarah Kaczmarek, the National Youth Director of Alpha USA, and she is sharing with us her testimony. So, Sarah, you're kind of going through these college years. Can you continue with your story?
Yeah. So, actually, right after college, had an opportunity to go to grad school for counseling psychology. So, headed back to Michigan. And while I was home, everyone was like, oh, you should be the youth minister at church, because that's a good job to have while you're in grad school. It's not that intense. It's not that demanding.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't take any time at all.
No.
And we don't have anyone else to do it.
So I was like, okay, sure. That sounds good. And quickly, as I jumped into that, realized, oh, my gosh, I better figure this out. I better figure this out for myself, my faith. I better figure out what I'm teaching, and I better start living it authentically. Because if I know one thing about high schoolers, more so I think than any other group, is they're pretty discerning about whether or not you're real and if you're authentically living your faith.
True.
So pretty quickly, I had this desire to just shift the way I was living my life. You know, I kind of was that double-minded man, living with one foot in the world, one foot outside of the world, and always in tension and not sure where I really wanted to land. And then I met some young people. They were young adults in their 20s who were all living their faith just like radically. Like they're talking about it. They were doing powerful things. They're praying over people. And I was like, I need this. I want this. And I asked them to pray for me. And so they prayed for me to receive an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to ignite what I received at baptism in a new and fresh way. And when I was praying for to receive the Holy Spirit, it changed my whole life. I remember the next day, so like that night being prayed for, and the next day waking up and the all-consuming joy that I had in my heart.
Yes.
Like I really believed I would never be unhappy again. Like the joy was so all-consuming. It was all I could think about. I was so joyful. And it was different than happiness, right? Happiness still just felt like a fleeting kind of worldly thing to me, but this joy felt like it was an abiding gift from the Father.
Amen.
To his daughter.
Wow.
So I lived in this joy, and all of a sudden it was like my eyes were cleared away and nothing in this world satisfied. So all the stuff that I did before that was like, you know, probably not great for me, you know, watching TV, watching programs, going to the bar, doing all of these things, none of it satisfied. I just wanted to be with Jesus. This like desire I had to be with him, where I would like fall asleep in the adoration chapel at the local church because I just wanted to be with him. I really had this love relationship with God for the first time in my life that was so personal and so intimate that once I had a taste of that, once I had a taste of the goodness of God, nothing else could compare. So it just shifted the way I saw everything, the way I saw myself, the way I saw the world. And then from that, I just became impassioned with other people having the same encounter that I did. I wanted them to know the love of the Father and to experience it. I wanted them to have the joy that comes from the power of His Holy Spirit. And as part of, like, at the same time, as part of, like, what I was going through in my counseling psychology program and wanting to become a therapist and what I was learning through the power of the Holy Spirit, what He was showing me, I became passionate about people being healed. Not only that they would be healed and renewed in their mind, but in their body. So I became obsessed with learning and understanding more about inner healing, the way that God wants to heal our hearts, our memories, our minds, renew them all, but also physical healing. So I got trained and read everything I could, listened to every podcast, went to conferences. I mean, I was on a mission.
Can we talk about those things now?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you share the listeners? I love the inner healing ministries that are kind of coming alive in the church. What are the foundational principles of, you know, that we learn from the gospel about God, the healing that God wants to do of our hearts?
Yeah. So I think that we hear like that in the scriptures that God wants to renew our mind, right? The renewal of our mind and to give us a new heart and to take out, I think with the inner healing piece of it. We're talking about replacing the lies that perhaps we've carried with us for our whole lives with the truth of Jesus, with our real and authentic identity given from the Father to a child. And I think that what happens is oftentimes is we just believe the lies that we carry, that like we may have a wound or something that happened to us, and it may not even be that big. You know, people are, I think, oftentimes walking around saying, well, nothing horrible really happened to me growing up. I didn't have any huge trauma. I'm probably good. And God's, I think, saying, like, good is not good enough for me. I want abundant life for you.
Wow.
I want life to overflow. He spoke so clearly to me one day when I was sitting with a kid in counseling, where he said, I didn't come and die on the cross so they could cope. And it convicted my heart that he wanted to heal their thoughts. He wanted to heal their memories. He wanted to heal their identity. And he wanted to transform them into a brand new creation. He really wanted to give them new life and life to the full. So those wounds that we sometimes carry with us, that the devil or the evil one comes to us and whispers, yeah, you're not good enough. Yeah, you're unlovable. Yeah, you're never going to measure up. You're unworthy. Jesus comes and says, no, I have made you very worthy, and I have made you very good. And when you experience the love of God and he replaces those lies with his truth, it gives you freedom like you cannot even imagine.
Wow, it's almost like when if you believe a lie, you empower the liar in your life. But you're saying, like, you know, God wants to root those out, and he wants to, like, replace that with truth.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's so good. And so so did you go through an inner healing in your own life?
Yeah, so multiple times. I think God is gracious and generous with us, and he knows us so uniquely, right? So some people, I think, are afraid of opening up their stuff, right? They're afraid of going there because they're fearful that if they let the stuff that they've been pushing down in their lives kind of rise up, that they may not be able to cope, you know, or they may not be able to continue on. But what I've seen about God is he's just so good, and he knows every cell of our being. He created us. No one knows us better. So he knows the best way to lead us on this journey of healing. And so for me, it was kind of like an onion. We'd peel back together layer by layer of things that I needed to heal. And he did it generously and in his own time and in a time that was good for me. So I struggled really with feelings of being lovable and worthiness, and my identity as a daughter really was, I think, something I had to grow into because I struggled with my relationship with my dad. And so that really affected the way that I saw my heavenly father based on my relationship with my earthly father. I lived a life that I believed that I had to earn the love of God the Father, the way that I thought I needed to earn the love of my father on earth. And God really had to replace that for me, that it still blows my mind that, like, he could love me no matter if I do nothing else, if I change nothing else. He loves me no more, no less.
So you're saying,
if I make a mistake, if I do something good, it doesn't change his love for me. That is like a simple thought for a lot of people. But when you experience that, when you know that, when God speaks that into your heart, it changes everything.
And it's like you can't just hear it on the show. You have to hear it from God himself.
Absolutely.
Who said, like, you know, right? I'm the shepherd. You're my sheep hear my voice.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, what happens, I think, with the voice of deception, the voice of lies, is when someone speaks something to you, you almost, like, a lot of times if you're broken and you need inner healing, it's like you hear the lie in your mind. So they can speak positive words to you that, hey, I love you. And then, like, in your mind, the enemy says, no, they don't. Or, hey, I love you for who you are, not what you do. And then the enemy in your mind says, no, that's not true. Like, or someone says, hey, you can do this. You're great at this. No, I'm not. You know, and it's that it's inner healing's about changing that initial voice to the voice of the Father instead of the voice of the enemy. Right. And so I would say, you know, if you've been healed and if God has accomplished a work in your life, is when you hear something, when someone speaks a word of affirmation to you, what's the voice that you hear? Do you hear the Father saying, yeah, I do love you and you're amazing and you can do this? Or do you hear the enemy? And I just want you to think about your own personal life right now. If you hear the voice of the enemy in your mind, when people encourage you, when they love you, when your spouse, you know, a lot of times our spouse will speak words of affirmation to us, and the enemy, rejects what our spouse says. And so it's amazing to me that people would not listen to their spouse, the person who loves you unconditionally. Why would you not listen to them? As they speak words of truth to you, you allow the enemy to lay hold of you. And the Father wants to heal you from that. He wants to wash away the voice of the evil one, and he wants to bring his voice to the forefront of your mind so that you are ministered all day long by Jesus and by his voice.
This is such a good discussion. Sarah, we should bring you back for like a full session on inner healing. Mm-hmm. But I want to keep going with your testimony. So you're diving in and learning about inner healing, physical healing. Yes. Keep going.
Yeah. So it was actually beautiful because at the same time, the Alpha Course came into my life at my church through parish ministry. So I had the privilege of running Alpha for middle schoolers, high schoolers, and adults. So I saw it basically across all age groups. And what I found was so beautiful about Alpha for me and what I needed it to do in the church I was ministering in was it ushered in the Holy Spirit, but it did it kind of through the back door. It wasn't this like front door assault where like, you know, we barreled through the front door and said, you should believe this. You need to experience this. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. It was just sort of this gentle understanding and knowing and then desire that was created within them as they journeyed through the Alpha course for an experience of God that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. So through that, I was able to begin to like live what I was learning through the ministry that I was afforded through Alpha because of the openness, you know, to the Holy Spirit. I was able to see like, oh my gosh, this stuff is really amazing, and it's changing people's lives. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that when they say yes to Jesus and they welcome him to live inside of them in a personal way and they say they want more of the Holy Spirit, I saw people physically healed. I saw marriages reunited. I saw people emotionally healed through the prayer of the Holy Spirit. And so it only empowered me more than to seek after this. Like, I need to know. I need to grow. I need more for myself. I need more for others. And I just became so impassioned with this. And then my ministry started to go outside the four walls of the church.
Wow. Well, can you tell me some of those stories of, like, you know, the when it was so fresh and new and you're seeing these signs and wonders coming through just this openness? Go for it.
Yeah. So through, you know, Alpha, I met this woman who had come because she had heard from one of her friends, this Alpha course was amazing. So she shows up on like week 7, which for us is kind of like, you know, it's a little late in the game. They've missed a lot of the good stuff. They've missed potentially the retreat. So you kind of want them to start over. But when someone's showing up at your door and saying, I need help, I can't do this anymore, you don't turn them away, right? So I said, can I meet with you outside of Alpha? And she was like, yes, I would love that. And so we prayed, and we prayed through some of the stuff of her childhood and the wounds of her childhood, and God spoke truth to them. And then she very timidly said, you know, and I have this really bad back problem, and I'm going to have surgery. It's from having children, and I can't even turn to the left or to the right in my car because of the incredible pain that shoots through my back. If I do this. And she said, do you think we could pray for this? And I was like, all right, let's do this. Yeah, absolutely. And it was the first time that when I prayed for someone, God sort of gave me a visual image of like what needed to happen to fix her back.
Mm.
So I just began to describe what I was seeing visually. And as soon as we finished, it was a very simple prayer. You know, it was only like a couple minutes long. It's not like it took 25 and I was saying all these fancy, very theological words or shouting or any of those things. It's very simple, easy, basic prayer. And she stood up and she says, oh my gosh, it's gone. And she turned and she checked and she's like doing all these things. And she was delighted. The look on her face was pure wonder, pure awe that God, the God of the universe, loved her so much that he chose to touch her in this moment with his healing and his mercy and his grace. And she spent the whole day testing it out. Like, I saw her later that night because she showed up at the Alpha course that night. And we're seeing her doing these like twists behind the food line. And we're like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm just making sure it's still healed.
She went out and bought a hula hoop. Why are you doing a hula hoop at church?
A holy hoop.
She couldn't believe it. And
that's awesome.
I got a taste of that, you know, through experiences like that and doing inner healing prayer with other people on the Alpha course. I had one woman who showed up on the first night of Alpha say to me, what does the Catholic Church think about divorce? And I was like, oh, and I kind of laughed. And she goes, no, because I'm either going to kill my husband or divorce him. And I kind of awkwardly laughed back at her. She's like, I'm serious. Okay.
We're gonna dig
That's a help me, Jesus moment.
And began to kind of process through with her what's really going on, what's the issue behind, you know, the anger. And then to have her show up with her husband 10 weeks into the course, and to have her lay hands on her own husband and pray for God to touch him with her, his love was miraculous. You know, so you see all of these things happen. And then for me, it just emboldened and empowered me more to do this and to continue to take it even outside of the confines or the safety of Alpha and take it out into the world, into my community.
This is so good.
Outside the church.
This is so good. So, Sarah, one thing I love hearing your story right now is that I feel like you were like kind of raised into walking a faux Catholic life. Like you were Catholic light or something, and you didn't really have that relationship with God. And then you encountered him through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then things started to become alive. And then the stuff of Jesus's life, you saw that as part of your life where, you know, Jesus said in John 14:12, amen, if anyone believes in me, they will do the works that I do and greater works. And like, you exude that, like, you know who you are, you believe in him, and you know that it's your inheritance, it's your job to do what he told you to do and what he modeled. And so, I know, Sarah, that like this is your heart cry, is to equip and empower like our Catholic brothers and sisters to walk in the ministry of Jesus. Can you talk about what you're doing now, like outside?
Yeah. So one of the beautiful things is to have I have a kind of a partner in this, in a prayer ministry. Who's the associate pastor at the church that I came from, where we go and we pray for people, and we don't advertise, people just call. And so we go and we pray for them, and he does like an anointing of the sick, and then we pray for radical healing and transformation. And we've seen amazing things that God has done. And then just encouraging people that this is for them. You know, they've experienced the love and the healing of their Father, and that he wants them to do the same for others. And so, part of when we talk or when I'm asked to come in and teach on the power of the Holy Spirit and the way that he heals still today, and the power that is living inside of each of you as a believer, I just love seeing people come alive with faith. I mean, we taught on the Holy Spirit in what I would consider a very traditional diocese and a very traditional part, very old school. And like the majority of my crowd was like, you know, in kind of in God's waiting room, so to speak. I mean, they were a little on the older side of things. And so I didn't have much, honestly, I was a little nervous. I was a little unsure of how is this going to go. How is it going to go to teach them to radically pray for God's Spirit to come, for him to heal, and then to try to listen for the voice of God speaking to this person through you, and to see the delight and the joy and the miracles God did in that room was unbelievable.
Well, look, you got to tell them now.
Yeah, so one of them that I really, really love is this older guy came to us for prayer ministry time. And so I said to him, like, is there anything, you know, you want to specifically ask God for? And he's like, my ear, it's been closed and I can't hear anything out of it. And it's been this way for a while. The doctors don't know what's wrong and there's nothing we can do about it. And I was like, well, there's something Jesus can do about it. So let's talk to him. And so we prayed and it was opened. And he could hear, and he was delighted. Like, if you at all think that you want to step out in this, the delight and the joy that you get from seeing God minister to people is amazing. It's something that I can't describe how amazing it is.
Yeah. Wow.
You've just got to try it.
So what do you say to our listener out there is like, oh my gosh, if I were in your shoes, I'd be more afraid of him, like, not getting healed and wounded from this experience than... I don't know. I don't think I could take that risk. What would you say?
Yeah, I would say this is how I like to think about it. So let's say there's 100 people you pray for, and let's say only 50 of them get healed. Is that a good thing? Would you be excited about that?
It's pretty good batting average.
Right?
And then half the balls.
They're like, yeah, 50 people? That'd be amazing. Like, that would be like the best thing of my life, right? And I'm like, what if those 50 people were the second 50? So from 1 to 49, nothing happens.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And 50, you know, to 100 is when the healing starts coming.
Yeah.
I said, would it be worth the risk? Would it be worth persevering? Would it be worth pursuing?
Hey, what if
those 50? And they were like, yeah, I guess you're right. And I was like, this is what God commands of us. I can't answer you. as to why God heals sometimes and why God doesn't. That's not something that, like, I wish I had some great, easy, pat answer. But I do know that God wants to touch people. And no matter what, if you are doing this with love in your heart and your desire is for them to encounter the living God and his love, and they walk away feeling loved, it's always a win. Even if they didn't get healed in this particular moment with this particular prayer, if you love them, if you experience
so good.
Sarah,
hold on. We have to take a break. Sarah, we have to take a break. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. When we come back, we're going to hear more amazing stories from Sarah. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people and launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We're hearing from Sarah, who is sharing the story about her extraordinary mission in the Holy Spirit. And Sarah, before we went to a break, you had a great analogy, right? You said, okay, imagine you prayed for healing for 100 people, but only 50 were healed. Would you still pray for all those 100 to see those 50? And I was almost thinking of like Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Where like, it's like, okay, well, what if only 40 were healed? Like, would you still pray for those 100? Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, God's like, yes, I will.
Okay, so, okay, God, if you're only going to heal 20 of them, should we still pray for all 100 of them?
Yes,
of course. And then it goes all the way down. Okay, so suppose we pray for 100 people for healing and only one person is healed. Should we still pray for those 100?
Yes,
of course, right? Because that one person is healed and God is so glorified in that. But here's what's even better. Suppose we pray for healing for 100 people. How many of those people are going to feel loved? 100%. 100 people will feel loved no matter what. So there's been plenty of times I've prayed for people for healing and God hasn't healed them in the way that we asked him to heal. But guess what? They felt loved.
Because when you pray, God comes.
Yeah, and his love comes.
Last time I checked.
And that joy and that unexpressible joy that you spoke of earlier is amazing. And so that's what prayer ministry is about. It's not about the results that we're always seeking, but it's about sharing Christ's love with others. And and God manifests his love in a thousand million different ways. It's just so beautiful to see the way he manifests his love.
That's so good. So, Sarah, keep going. Yeah, inner healing. What else are you seeing in your ministry?
I mean, God's just growing the prophetic in me as well, as a bridge, I feel like, for relationships between people and him, that he just uses that particular charism.
Can you explain the prophetic? What do you mean by that to our listeners?
So prophetic, the way it especially operates in my life is just God's encouragement and building up and speaking into the identity of the person that God puts in front of me. So, of course, it's about exhortation, but it's always like encouraging and building up. And even if there's a caution, like even if the Lord gives you a little bit of caution, like where they might be going wrong, we do it in a way that encourages them and speaks to their identity. So the prophetic, sometimes I think people back away from, or I've seen in the past where it's like, we're all going to die and this is going to happen. You know, turn around and repent. You know, you look at the
Oh yeah. I was saying that at Walmart this morning.
Exactly. And you're like, I don't want to do that. And I believe Jesus doesn't want you to do that either, because, I think that the prophetic today, the way that God's spirit is moving, especially in my own life, is just speaking into the identity of the person, the way that God sees them, the purpose and plan he has for their lives. Maybe even some things from the past that he wants them to know that he's forgiven or he's healed, and sets them forth on a journey of growing closer to him and spreading his good news everywhere they go. So that's part of like the charism that I feel like God's operating a lot in this particular season in my life.
What does that look like in a practical sense? Is there a story that you have that, you know, because I think when you share a story, people can like cue in and be like, yeah, I felt that too.
Yeah. So I had this girl, a young girl who's like brand new in ministry. She's in her early 20s. And she came to me and she was like, hey, can I talk to you? And I'm like, sure. And she's like, I'm just really struggling. I'm supposed to be this youth minister. I really want the best for my kids, but I feel like I'm failing and that like I'm going to do something wrong. And I'm just not good at this. And I was like, okay, well, let's pray. Let's ask God to speak into that, like what he wants you to know. So just began to pray, and God revealed to me and showed to me that, like, it was actually something that had happened to her a couple years ago that was holding her back, right? It was a lie that was holding her back, where she believed that, like, if she did stuff, in terms of trying to be helpful, that it actually would hurt people. She had an experience of losing her father to suicide.
Now, did you like kind of discern that naturally, or did God reveal that, and how did that look?
Yeah, so for each person, it's a bit different. So sometimes God, I always say like the prayer language that you kind of have with God. So if you feel like you're a visual prayer, like sometimes you see things when you're just in your sweet space with the Lord, where you're spending time with Him for no other purpose than to just be with Him. A lot of times He'll use that in the prophetic as well. So if you're a visual prayer, if you're sometimes you just know things. Sometimes you hear God's voice in your heart. Sometimes people do hear the audible voice of God. I think that's a little bit more rare, and people chase that sometimes as like a prophetic gift. And I don't think that that's the qualifier, right? That you're hearing this booming voice audibly. But I think however God kind of knows to speak to you is how He's going to speak to you. And it will look or sound perhaps a little bit different than Patrick, than it would me.
Yep.
So for me, I'm a visual person. Like, so sometimes I'll see things, and then sometimes the Lord will just speak to my heart, and He'll just say things. And people are like, well, how do you know? And I'm like, well, I know my own voice, and I know what I usually think, and I know the things that I can come up with. And I know now, because I've spent time listening to Him, I know what God's voice sounds like in me.
Yeah, so it's just, so like, just that time with the Lord, like learning to hear His voice for you.
Yeah.
And then responding and taking risks. I absolutely love
Amen.
It.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And that goes back to that inner healing as well, right? Is because you have to, your mind almost has to be healed so that you're hearing the voice of the Lord as opposed to the voice of the evil one. And so the voice of the evil one will fill you with doubt even when you hear the voice of the Lord. It's that, you know, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul talks about this renewal of the mind, the transformation of the mind. And so allowing your mind to be transformed so you hear Jesus's voice. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And we all essentially just become wounded healers, right? That God uses us for the work of healing, but it's only because He has healed us.
Yeah,
we can do that.
Exactly.
And out of that. So,
I think the most dangerous thing is not being healed and being tormented and then being a minister in the church.
Oh, it's devastating. It's devastating. I mean, the enemy is trying to rob you of your call.
And it's
your vocation.
And it's killing our church even, because like you think about like how many wounded ministers have you met that are tormented, and the way it manifests, the fruit, as opposed to them living the fruit of the Spirit, they're living the fruit of the evil one. And so the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, generosity, kindness, gentleness, patience, self-control, right? But a lot of times we're greeted by people who work for the church with like bitterness and cynicism and anger and frustration and quick-temperedness. And so we don't want that anymore. We want the fruit of the Spirit in our lives.
So we're just going to close with a little prayer right now. And actually, a few times we've actually prayed for healing on the show, and we've received testimonies saying that people have been healed while this prayer happens. So I just believe right now that... we got the sense on the break that God wanted to bring some healing right now, and He gave each of us some conditions that we're going to pray for. So we're going to pray right now, and listeners, all you got to do is receive, and if this is you, just respond in faith and say, yes, Lord. So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Father, I thank You for all of the healing that You've done through Encounter, Lord. I thank You for all the healing You've done through Sarah and Alpha and her ministry. And Lord, we declare that You are the healer. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for that wisdom and revelation, that You would just show us what You're doing. And we're just going to pray right now and just release these words right now. So I just speak to anyone that has left shoulder pain, like broken rotator cuffs. I just say left shoulders be healed in the name of Jesus. And I speak to people that have heart disease right now. I believe that God is healing hearts as you hear this right now. So hearts, we just say, be healed in the name of Jesus. And anyone with left knee pain, whatever it might be, we just speak to left knees, and we say, left knees, be healed in the name of Jesus for the glory of God.
Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for anyone with broken ankles, just with the ankle that is injured in the name of Jesus. We pray for complete healing and recovery to their ankle. And Lord, I pray for those who are suffering with anxiety, that You would free them from the burden of anxiety, Lord, that You would usher in a spirit of peace right now. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we cast out a spirit of anxiety, a spirit of fear, and we usher in, we call in Your spirit of peace, love, and joy. Come, Holy Spirit, heal them, Lord Jesus. Bring calm, Lord, calm the storms of their lives, calm the storms of their heart, calm the storms of their mind right now, Lord, that their mind would be a calm sea where they encounter you. And Sarah, please.
Yes, and so I just confirm that anxiety, God, that we break the bondage of anxiety over all of your believers in the name of Jesus, that the racing thoughts in particular, that the racing thoughts would be stopped now in the name of Jesus. I've come against depression, God. I see this dark cloud being lifted over your children. So depression, we cast you out in the name of Jesus, and we implant hope in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit in each heart today, that hope will rise.
Amen.
Today. And I speak to lung disease, like lung cancer, specifically in the right lobe, the right side. I see shadows. And so we cast that out in the name of Jesus. Total healing, a creative miracle to rebuild parts of the lung that have been destroyed from disease or cancer in the name of Jesus.
Wow. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you for everything that you're doing right now. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory. And Father, also, if there's any listeners out there who have been hearing us talk about these powerful encounters that we've had with the Holy Spirit, and you haven't had that, or there's fear about that happening right now, if that's you, you can just raise your hand, and we're just going to pray for you right now. So, yeah, in your car, in your home, wherever you are. So if that's you, if you want just a fresh love encounter with the Lord, we're just going to pray for you in a special way. So, Father, I pray for everyone that's hungry to have that experiential knowledge of you, that eternal life, that they would know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, who you sent. Father, I just speak against that fear. And Father, I pray that in this season right now, that you would bring them into opportunities to have radical encounters with the person of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God. So we just pray for a release of that in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. So we pray for love and joy and peace, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray all this in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Sarah, thank you so much for being on Encounter Radio, for praying in the Holy Spirit. And how can people learn about Alpha USA and the teen program you're involved with?
Yeah, so they can just go online and check out alphausa.org. And there's some links for Alpha in a Catholic context and for Alpha Youth.
Wow, that is so awesome. And for our listeners right now, to learn more about us or the show, to check out the archives, you can go to encounterradio.org. And if you have a story that you want to share, you can go to encounterradio.org, and there will be a form that you can submit your story to be considered to be on Encounter Radio. So on behalf of Dan and I, we thank you so much for joining us, and we pray that you have the grace to receive and respond to every divine encounter that God brings to you today. Encounter is a production of St. Gabriel Radio, and for more information, you can go to stgabrielradio.org. That's stgabrielradio.com, actually. So stgabrielradio.com. Thank you so much, and have an amazing day.